Fires it off. Left circle. McNabb. Dorofeev. One-timer. Blocked. Rattles around. Score!
Nobody is ever satisfied with one. So we're back for a second hour of the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show.
Michael takes it on his backhand. Forehand pass. Hanifin! Score! Noah Hanifin, power play goal!
From the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com, here is Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Hour number two of the VGK Insider Show rolling along here on a Thursday. The VGK Insider Show is brought to you by the Dollar Loan Center, where your first loan is on us. Apply for free at don'tbebroke.com to get up to $5,000. It's hour number two. Chapman, what do?
Sticks down and drop the puck, Ryan.
On hour number two of the VGK Insider Show, hey, at least we've put our sticks down and at least we've dropped a couple of pucks this week, unlike the National Hockey League and the Stanley Cup Final, because we have to wait another 48 hours before game one, but we are almost there. I promise you, tomorrow, media day for the Florida Panthers and the Edmonton Oilers, so a ton of sound going to be coming out of Sunrise tomorrow, and we should get some great sound bites, I would imagine, from Paul Maurice, from Matthew Tkachuk, Chris Knobloch, if he decides to dump on the entire city of Buffalo again. I don't know. We'll see.
How did that go over, by the way? Mrs. Wallace is now a huge Florida Panther fan?
Yeah, I mean, I'm clearly not in Chris Knobloch's favor here. You know what I mean? It's wild that he would go like 30 years back. You know what I mean? Okay, this is the funny thing about the Chris Knobloch thing, right? So like he says, and if you missed it, we did a bit on it a couple of days ago when it happened in one-timers. But Chris Knobloch was asked about the experience for the Florida Panthers that they would have gained in going to the Stanley Cup Final last year. And Knobloch said, I'll ask the Buffalo Bills how that worked out for them in the early 90s. And it's like, okay, cool. You know, sometimes you go to the championship round and you don't win. And then you get back to the championship round and you don't win. In the case of the Buffalo Bills in the early 90s, they went to four straight Super Bowls. They never won one. It's a sore subject for anybody that is a Bills fan or literally anybody from upstate New York. Ask me how I know I married a woman from Buffalo. So with that being said, it makes sense that Knobloch would like point to something historical that happened to say like, experience doesn't matter. But he used an example that was 31 years old. Like, that's where you lose me a little bit. But at the end of the day, like, whatever you got to do to try to give your team the edge, you're going to do. And Chris Knobloch certainly did that. I'm wondering if he's going to try to dump on the Buffalo Sabres next, or maybe he's just going to indiscriminately start talking bad about the Minnesota Wild and the fact that the state of hockey hasn't had a team that's really challenged for a Stanley Cup ever. And then the team that they used to have moved to Texas and won a championship there. So I don't know, over the Buffalo Sabres, by the way, which is even more ironic when you start to really parse all through all that.
Oh, but sore subject there.
Maybe Chris Knobloch can like cool it for a little bit tomorrow on the state of New York and the city of Buffalo specifically. But Chris Knobloch is great on the mic. And you know what else is another sport, league, whatever you want to call it, that has good talkers and great performers? Well, it's the WWE. And I don't know if you saw this, Chapman. I retweeted it a couple of times. I think this is awesome. As a big wrestling fan many moons ago, I love championship belts. I love when Aaron Rodgers would score a touchdown and he would do the discount double check and he would throw the hands and he would say, look at me, I'm the champion, the championship belt celebration. I love that. I also love actual championship belts. They look really cool. They look really, really heavy and super expensive. And wouldn't it be nice if you could just wear a giant belt buckle to show how dominant you are as an athlete? Like, I think that that's really cool. And it's not just the WWE. I like the UFC belts, though. I don't love the new versions of them. I like the older versions of them. But championship belts are cool. And so the WWE and the National Hockey League have created a first of its kind licensing partnership to recreate their own version of a championship for the winner of the Stanley Cup. It's going to be called the WWE Stanley Cup Champions Legacy Title Belt. If you want to see what it looks like, follow me at Ryan Hockey Guy on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it these days. I've retweeted the original post from WWE with what the belt will look like. It features a giant Stanley Cup right in the middle. There's going to be side plates that you can interchange and that will represent the team that wins. So if it's the Panthers, I'm sure it'll have a big Panther logo. If it's the Oilers, it'll have a big Oil logo. But it is going to go on sale at the conclusion of the Stanley Cup Finals. So if the Florida Panthers win the Stanley Cup, you can go to shop.nhl.com. You can go to WWE.com. You can go to fanatics.com. You can go to any one of those websites, and you can purchase this replica championship legacy belt for the winner of the Stanley Cup. I assume that this is not going to be a one-off thing. Like, I assume that it's going to be something that happens year over year, generally, after every major championship is awarded in professional sports here in America. The WWE will tweet out like a picture of their stock championship belt with the side plates for the teams. But I think this is what's going to replace that. It brings in elements of hockey. It's really cool. And again, as somebody that grew up watching hockey and had some pretty fun moments, grew up watching wrestling and hockey, merging the two worlds together is pretty cool. But here's the question that I have for you, Chapman. Would you buy this?
Yes.
Would you buy this?
Yes. Yes, I would. If I was a fan, first of all, I don't think you need to be a wrestling fan to want to have this, because if you're a fan of the Golden Knights or the Edmonton Oilers or whoever, whatever team, and you have your little man cave, and I know there's a lot of fans out there who have them. I mean, I know a lot of people, my neighbors are huge Golden Knight fans, and they have all sorts of memorabilia in their house already. So this is a really cool item to add to your collection of whether it's jerseys. And Ryan, think about how cool it is. Like, you walk into T-Mobile Arena, and I'm just going to use the Golden Knights for example, because I feel like WWE should have been doing this already. But like, you walk into T-Mobile Arena, and you've got your replica Golden Knights Stanley Cup champion legacy belt wrapped around your waist. You've got your William Karlsson gold jersey on, and you've got the WWE championship belt wrapped around your waist. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good look. And generally, I'm not a fan of like cheese and corn, but I like this. I think it's cool. And I'm looking at a picture of the belt right now in some detail. Yeah. And I got to be honest, I like the diamonds around the circle. Now, I'm assuming the real belt will have probably real diamonds going around the circle that has the Stanley Cup in it. But I like the hockey rink behind the Stanley Cup. Like, I think that's a really cool touch. And then if I'm understanding the way you're describing it, you'll have your team logo on the side there. It's a super cool item. Like, I look at it, and like you, I grew up watching wrestling. I haven't watched it in a long, long time. But like every year for WrestleMania, my buddy Mike Sarro, he would have a party, and all the kids from my grade school, from third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, all the way up, probably until we were in like sixth or seventh grade, we'd go over his house and we would watch WrestleMania, or they would come to my house and they would watch SummerSlam. I mean, this is in the days where there were only like the Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, Survivor Series and WrestleMania. Like, there weren't pay-per-views every month. But if I was a kid and you could have told me that I could have had a championship belt when I was a kid, I mean, first of all, me and my brother, we would constantly get yelled at because we turned our living room or our family room where my mom had her grand piano. We turned that into our wrestling ring. So my mother was always freaking out when we would wrestle in there because there was no furniture other than this grand piano. And my mom, of course, had it up on the I don't know what you call it, the pin or the stand where the top of the piano was sticking up in the air, and it was held into place by that wood. And we didn't care if we made too much noise and it would come crashing down. Fortunately, never did. But like, if I could have had that championship belt, Like walking out of my walking out of the dining room into the living room with this belt, pretending to be the champ. Oh, it would have been the greatest thing ever. But
okay,
those didn't exist when I was a kid.
There's two things here for me. Number one, can you get the team plates if your team has won the Stanley Cup? So this comes a year too late for Golden Knights fans. And hit us on the text line, 702-876-1340. Let me know if you would have purchased this if it was available last year when the Golden Knights won the Stanley Cup. Because to be honest, I'd have one with me all the time. It's so rad. It'd be really cool if, like, the Stanley Cup was the spinner type, like John Cena's old belt used to be. Yeah. I don't believe it is. But the fact of the matter is, like, if you could buy this now and you could just put the logo of your team on that belt because your team has already won a Stanley Cup, like, that would be a really cool thing. I think it would certainly be something that I think Golden Knights fans are into, or, you know, Tampa Bay Lightning or Colorado Avalanche. Like, take your pick here. But, like, I'm with you in that they're just cool. And it's just one of those things where, like, any type of memorabilia you can have, you can get your hands on, that commemorates a moment that you're going to remember forever, is something worth looking into. I, like you, don't believe you have to be a wrestling fan. I don't know that I'd actually, like, wear that out. Like, I had a couple of people reach out and say that they would have worn it to the Stanley Cup parade last year. Maybe that's the occasion. You only break it out when your team wins the Stanley Cup, whatever the case may be. But I would love it if someone just got a championship belt and wore it to the game every single time. Well, I think that'd be awesome.
Think about the players in the parade. Like, could you imagine if William Karlsson, shirtless William Karlsson, had the championship belt buckled around his waist as he's telling us since day bleep and one, how cool that would have been. Like, what a cool moment. Like, it would have made the greatest moment in Las Vegas history. Yeah, I said it. Even cooler. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this got me thinking, if we can meld the WWE and the National Hockey League with a championship belt to commemorate the Stanley Cup champion, why can't we build a WWE-style pay-per-view inspired by the Stanley Cup final? And what I mean by that is very simple. I want to take some players on the Edmonton Oilers and some players on the Florida Panthers, and I want to put them into WWE-style matchups, matches, if you will, that you would be able to find on a pay-per-view. And some have themes, some don't have themes. Chapman, did you kind of put together any of your own that you've got that you want to throw out there?
Well, I'm gonna make an addition to one of the matches, I'll do so when we get there. But I did come up with the one that is on there. I like the last one that you put because it's so funny and it's so fitting for those two guys. I chuckled when I looked at the notes and saw that. So, I think we've got a pretty good list. And when we get to it, I'll do my addition.
Okay. So I'm actually going to start with that last match, because I built the card from top to bottom, right? So the card is going to start off with a match between Sam Reinhart and Zach Hyman. There's no gimmick for this match. Like, I was sitting here trying to think about it, right? Because both guys scored over 50 goals. Like, Zach Hyman's a 50-goal scorer. Sam Reinhart's a 50-goal scorer. Like, they just do what they do. They score. They're great at what they do. And so part of me wanted to go, like, with a classic Iron Man match, like a 60-minute match. But, you know, neither guy is going to really eat up that much time on ice, so it didn't really work out. But the comparable was Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, right? Like, when you start to think about the epic battles that Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart had at kind of the pinnacle of their careers, it was generally Iron Man matches. It was generally these long, wrestling-centric, wrestling-heavy type of performances. And I just feel like that kind of fit for Sam Reinhart and Zach Hyman. But at the end of the day, these two guys, they just go about their business. There's no gimmicks there. They just do what they do, and they're great at it. So Sam Reinhart, Zach Hyman, they open up the card for me.
I think that's fair. The no gimmicks is definitely something that we could put in there. They're both guys who go out and they basically do their job without a lot of, I think, fanfare and a lot of, you know, real, you know, they don't really draw attention to themselves. No gimmicks. It's almost like an old school classic match when you just had like gorgeous whoever against Nature Boy Buddy Rogers. And, you know, it was like just two guys. They came out. They put on a great match. And you knew we were going to get a great match when those two guys came out to the ring. And so I think that's fitting. No gimmicks. It works pretty well.
All right. So after that barn burner of an opener, we're going to go to a nice tag team match. It's Philip Broberg and Matthias Ekholm of the Edmonton Oilers versus Oliver Ekman Larsson and Gustav Forsling in a Swedish tag team match. Chapman, this is the one you proposed, so I'm going to let you take it.
Yeah, well, I think you have to add an element, right? Like maybe you incorporate some ladders into it, almost like the old Hardy Boys against Edge and Christian, when you'd have the TLC tables, ladders, and chairs. But you know, there's no championship belt at stake here, so they have to climb the ladder and pull something down that's authentically Swedish. And maybe it's a pickled herring, or maybe it's a bottle of aquavit. Like, you have to incorporate something Swedish into this ladder match, and what better than a pickled herring? Like, that would be great, a pickled herring ladder match, and the winner is the one who climbs the ladder and pulls it down.
That's amazing.
If there's any Swedes driving around listening to this, I apologize. But
yep.
Listen, I like pickled herring. I had it in Stockholm. It was great. So, and my cousins are Swedish, and they've got me loaded on aquavits plenty of time. Maybe that's it. Maybe they have to drink a bottle of aquavit before they go into the squared circle.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. All right, so that's Chris Chapman's contribution to this. Let's go to the next match, and it's Nick Cousins versus Matthias Janmark in a What Happens in Vegas match. I don't know what that means. Like, initially, I wanted to say a Vegas death match because, like, back in the day in wrestling, there used to be a Texas death match. Obviously, the tie-in here for Nick Cousins and Matthias Janmark is that both of those guys used to play for the Vegas Golden Knights. So if you are one of those people out there that wants to see a former Golden Knight win a championship, you're going to get your pick with one of the two of them. Whether or not you want it to be Nick Cousins or Matthias Janmark, that's kind of your decision, I suppose. But the Nick Cousins, Matthias Janmark, What Happens in Vegas match, like, let's just call it a no DQ match.
Yeah.
Matthias Janmark's just going to be running away, because he's so much faster than Nick Cousins. And Nick Cousins might, like, you know, fall down and pretend to be hurt forever so that Matthias Janmark could stop running, check to see if he's okay, and then it's going to be the low blow and the illegal eye poke for Nick Cousins to get the victory.
Yes, you know, I'm going to add to this match that each guy has someone in their corner, and Nick Cousins will have Tobias Bjornfoot, who has not, okay, I don't believe he's played a game in the playoffs for the Florida Panthers, but he is a member of the organization, and Calvin Pickard can be in the corner of Matthias Janmark. Why those two guys? Because I think, well, obviously both at one point were members of this organization, but neither of them, I think Bjornfoot played, what, one game with the Golden Knights, and Pickard played none?
Couple games.
So they can be the manager, or I think better would be in their corner. Like, 1 year, Jake the Snake Roberts had Alice Cooper in his corner at one of the WrestleManias. I think Ricky the Dragon Steamboat at one point had George the Animal Steel in his corner at WrestleMania 3 when he beat the Macho Man for the Intercontinental title. This is like my childhood, so I love this sort of stuff. So Bjornfoot in the corner of Nick Cousins, and you put Pickard in the corner of Janmark. Now the question is, which guy's more likely to interfere? Since Cousins is the heel in this one.
Yeah, it's Bjornfoot
likely to get involved?
Yeah, it's Bjornfoot. And then Calvin Pickard, much like he did in round two, he'll come in and save the day.
Yes.
he'll come in and save the day. You know, he'll prevent the interference from costing Matthias Janmark in this spot. So, yeah, I think it all really works out well. Okay, the next match on the pay-per-view. Again, we are melding the worlds of the WWE and the National Hockey League. We are going to go Kyle Okposo versus Corey Perry in a loser leaves town match. In other words, a retirement match.
Yes.
Now, I think Corey Perry gets the upper hand here because, like, all the dude does is play in Stanley Cup Finals. So I don't think he's going to retire anytime soon. And I think if Kyle Okposo can win, he'll probably retire anyway. So the fact of the matter is, I think that, you know, you have two guys at the late stages of their career that really want to win. In Corey Perry's case, another championship, and Kyle Okposo's case, a first championship. And I just like the stipulation that the loser of this series or the loser of this match has to leave town and ride off into the sunset forever. Kyle Okposo, you better win because I don't want to be tortured by Corey Perry anymore.
Well, and we know how it'll go. If Corey Perry loses this match, it'll end up being like when Dusty Rhodes had to retire because he lost to Ric Flair and he came back as a masked wrestler pretending to be someone who wasn't Dusty Rhodes, but he did everything that Dusty Rhodes did in the ring, and Ric Flair would yell and scream that it was Dusty Rhodes, but they could never prove that it was Dusty Rhodes. And I think that's Corey Perry. Like, he's going to come back wearing the mask, and everyone's going to know it's Corey Perry, but no one's going to actually know for sure that it's Corey Perry. They're like, I know it's Corey Perry, but he's got the mask on, so he's got everybody fooled.
He comes back as the Worm, and no one knows that it's Corey Perry. That'd be amazing.
Scotty too hotty.
Okay, so the second to last match on the docket for me is Sam Bennett versus Evander Kane in a Hell in a Cell match. I mean, this one goes without saying.
Yeah, like, this is the one everyone
Sam
wants
Bennett,
to see.
Yeah, listen, here's the deal. Sam Bennett can be really greasy. Evander Kane can be really greasy. Both guys are looking to hit and hurt. That is the true nature of hockey in the playoffs. Sam Bennett said as much. Brad Marchand said as much. And so when you've got two guys that know what they are capable of, that can be gritty and a little greasy and play on or over that line, you put them inside of a giant cell and you just let them come to blows. To me, this was the no-brainer of the card. Sam Bennett, Evander Kane, Hell in a Cell. What do you say?
Well, the best part about this is they're both heels. Like, neither one of them are good guys. So the fans are kind of torn on who to root for, but I think this is the type of match where they're both bad guys, but by the end of the match, Sam Bennett turns face and he becomes the good guy. Like, I can't picture like Evander Kane ever turning face and being the good guy in this scenario. So Sam Bennett probably wins the match, and in doing so, he becomes the guy he goes over with the crowd. And boy, I'm really showing my mark language here. He gets over.
Well, hold on, because like I don't remember. I mean, I remember the spots from Undertaker, Mankind,
yes,
in Hell in a Cell.
Yeah,
I remember the spots because how could you forget those spots? They're ridiculous and legendary and awful. But I don't remember going into that one if either one of those guys was a face. I think they were both heels in much the same way you're kind of describing this. And at the end of the match, it was admiration for the spots more than anything else. Like, it didn't really matter who won or lost that match. It was all about what those two guys did to their bodies and what they were willing to do in order to win and entertain. So
yeah,
I think it fits for Evander Kane and for Sam Bennett on a lot of different levels.
Yeah, they're Sam Bennett is like Demolition in this scenario, where they're bad guys. They wear the spikes and they come out with the face paint and they've got the cool song, and but for some reason, you're rooted for them, even though they were bad guys. So I think Sam Bennett, he turns face. He ends up being the good guy. He wins the match in the cage, and everyone goes crazy for the mustache. Plus, he's got that mustache, right? Like you can't get more villainous than the Red Baron-type mustache that he has, the handlebar mustache.
Yeah. All right, so the main event of the evening is Connor McDavid with Chris Knobloch, so The Undertaker and Paul Bearer, versus Matthew Tkachuk and Paul Maurice, with Paul Maurice. They're, Paul Maurice and Chris Knobloch, they're not fighting, they're just the managers here. Paul Maurice, like, what would you, like, Ted DiBiase-ish? Would that be a fair comparable?
I think maybe more like Bobby the Brain Heenan, because he's got the one-liners.
How could I forget Bobby the Brain Heenan?
Yeah. I mean, he's got the one-liners, and I'm trying to, like, come up with a Tkachuk. Like, Tkachuk, maybe Stone Cold Steve Austin, where he just doesn't care. Like, he's going to come out, he'll give Gary Bettman the stunner at center ice. Like, it's not a big deal for him. He'll dance around, drink his Budweiser at center ice as he's, you know, doing his thing with his hand gestures to Gary Bettman as he's laying on the ice. I think Stone Cold is fitting for Matthew Tkachuk, and The Undertaker and Paul Bearer, perfect for Connor McDavid and Chris Knobloch.
Okay, now that match to me is a Money in the Bank ladder match. It's not a championship match because the champions are still the Vegas Golden Knights. So the winner of McDavid Tkachuk in the Money in the Bank ladder match, they can then cash in on champion and captain Mark Stone. And that's the way that it ends in my imagination. So we're not actually awarding a championship here. No. It hasn't happened yet. They haven't won yet. And therefore, the winner of McDavid Tkachuk Money in the Bank ladder match, they then have the right to cash in on the still champion Vegas Golden Knights and Mark Stone.
Yeah, I like
that's in another pay-per-view.
I like the way further down the road, right? It's all about enterprising and keeping the fans intrigued, and maybe on that next pay-per-view we'll get Leon Draisaitl and Alexander Vladimir Tarasenko involved somehow, and
there was no match for Leon.
Yeah, you believe that?
Like Leon and Barkov would have been interesting, but like that's the least interesting. Those are the two least interesting people on both teams.
I know, that's the funniest thing. Like Barkov. Well, Paul Maurice says he's got a good sense of humor, so maybe there's a hidden talent there somewhere, and he's behind the scenes seething at the fact that he was not included in this pay-per-view.
Is there anyone else beyond Leon Draisaitl that you would love to like book a match for?
I feel like Warren Fogle would be kind of fun. Like he's got a cool name, you know, Warren Fogle. he's got a little bit of a personality. Like he plays on the edge a little bit. He doesn't really do anything that you're like, wow, this guy's an amazing player, but yet he always seems to kind of he's a bit of a pest and a pain.
Yeah.
In some ways, you know, I mean, Evan Bouchard. But the one that when I look at Edmonton and I'm wondering, like, how we would incorporate him, Vincent Desjardins. Like, I mean, he's the big brute. Like, he's almost like...
Yeah, he's a big guy.
I mean, he's 6'7". You know, he's like Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
So maybe...
No, see, this is... This,
maybe
this is what you
a
do.
Handicap match it's, where do they still
no call no 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 this is what you do with Desjardins, because you mentioned, right, like he's a tall dude. It is a David versus Goliath match, Ryan Lomberg versus Vinny Desjardins. and if Lomberg can lift and body slam Desjardins, it's a win.
Oh, we're getting back to WrestleMania 1. He gets the $10,000.
Doesn't have to pin him.
Yeah.
Just has to body slam him. Yeah, exactly. There it is. Ryan Lomberg versus Vinny Desjardins. There you go.
Little 5'9 Ryan Lomberg against 6'7 Desjardins. I mean, like, he's just got to scoop slam him, and he's good. He's good after he gets him up, and he gets a $10,000 cash.
Listen, I know that this was a departure for us, but when you don't have games to get into, it's going to get a little weird. We're going to take a break and come back with One-Timers next on the VGK Insider Show.
Brandon Carlson left corner. Centered one-timer, score!
It's time for One-Timers. One-Timers. A quick look at news and notes from around the National Hockey League. Brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery.
One-Timers, news and notes from around the National Hockey League. Got a bit to discuss today. We're going to start off with ESPN. They have signed analyst and world-renowned leader Mark Messier to a multi-year contract. As we all know, Mark Messier has been a part of the ESPN broadcasts, not full-time, but off and on. He's certainly done a lot of really good work, solid work here in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and I imagine will be featured as the head analyst, lead analyst, for the ESPN panel when it comes to the Stanley Cup final. And what more are you going to ask for from an analyst, right? Like, you guys won the Stanley Cup six different times. He's a legend. Now, on TV, early on, I think Messier was a little stiff, but he's gotten better as time has worn on, and I like the dynamic of Messier with PK Subban, so I'm with it, man. Like, you want to bring the legends in when it comes to these new TV deals. TNT, they've got Wayne Gretzky. He's only won the Stanley Cup four times. So ESPN, they're clearly better because they have a better leader in Mark Messier, and he's won the Stanley Cup more times than Wayne Gretzky. So good on ESPN for locking him up.
Yeah, I know I've told my Mark Messier story on the air about how he kind of gave me a hard time. He chirped me at the awards a couple years ago, and I first time I'd ever had the chance to talk to Mark Messier, and I'm like, hey, I just want you to know you broke my heart '94 when I was a kid, I was a teenager, Devils, and he smiles and goes, good. And he walked away.
Jeez. It's cold-blooded.
No. You know what, though? He was. That's how he was as a player. It was perfect.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it was it was the chef's kiss to me. Like,
it's a little more complicated for people in Vancouver when it comes to Mark Messier.
Yeah.
I'm glad you were able to find that closure, Chapman. Did you see the new trailer that the NHL dropped today for their behind-the-scenes docuseries produced by Amazon? Did you see it?
No, I have not.
Okay, so it featured William Nylander, David Pastrnak was there. The series doesn't have a name yet, but it's that documentary series that we were talking about a little bit earlier on in the season, where a number of NHL stars were going to be followed around, day-to-day life, all of that. It should come as no surprise to anybody that Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Matthew Tkachuk, they're all involved in this project, and the cameras are going to continue to roll on those players specifically as they enter the Stanley Cup final whenever that does start. But what you didn't know, and what we can confirm now, is that Jack Eichel of the Vegas Golden Knights is a part of this series. So not only are you going to get kind of the back and forth, the ins and outs of, you know, the Stanley Cup final from that perspective, following around McDavid and Draisaitl and Tkachuk, but you're also going to get some behind the scenes from other players in the league, including Jack Eichel, David Pastrnak, William Nylander, Quinn Hughes, and this is the one that's really interesting to me, Gabriel Landeskog. Like, think about that for a moment. Think about the insights you might get from a player that hasn't played in two seasons, is having to watch his team throughout the playoffs, throughout the regular season, as he's rehabbing and trying to get back on the ice to play with his club. And not to mention the fact that the last time he played a game in the National Hockey League, he won a Stanley Cup. Like, he has not played a game of hockey since winning the Stanley Cup two seasons ago. So with all that said, I think Gabe Landeskog and following him around and what his day-to-day like might be the most illuminating thing about this series.
Yeah, and I think when I hear that, my initial thought is he's going to be painted as a sympathetic figure, right? Like, here's this this champion. He's a champion, and he's unable to play. And going through his trips to the doctor and watching him rehab and watching him give it a go and probably him saying, I just don't have it. Like, you're going to watch that and you're going to walk away feeling really sorry for Gabe Landeskog, I would imagine.
Yep.
Like, I can't imagine they're going to paint him as an unfavorable guy. Now, the two who intrigue me the most, obviously Jack Eichel, because he's here in town. And, you know, like, I want to see, like, maybe, I don't know if other people are like this, but, like, maybe they'll show Jack Eichel going to a restaurant. And you're like, hey, you know what? I eat at that restaurant. Or maybe they'll show Jack Eichel driving down a certain street. And you're like, oh, I drive down that street every day. Maybe I'll see Jack Eichel.
Sure.
But what I really want to see, I want to see more of Jack Eichel's dogs. Like, I want to see more of that, right? We got to see a bit of it in the ESPN series last year. But I want to see Eichel and his pup. Like, the Boston Terrier, and we know he's got another one as well. But, like, I want to see more of the dogs. Because Jack Eichel, when I first met him, I would not have pictured Jack Eichel for being, like, a dog dad. But seeing the way he was with those dogs, I'm like, that's the coolest aspect of Jack, right? Like, seeing the way he interacts with his puppies. So, I love that. And I really like David Pastrnak. Like, any player who signs a contract, and it's not this contract, but it was this last contract, and his salary was $6,666,666. Like, you know that's a really, really interesting guy when he's willing to have that sense of humor where, yeah, you know what, that's going to be my – plus, you got the cool nickname in Pasta. He does the Dunkin' commercials.
So hold on. So in reference to Pastrnak, so he was featured in the trailer as well. And he was driving with the film crew. And he's like, I just got rid of my beard. It's the first time that my daughter's going to see me without my beard. She's probably going to think I'm one of you guys. He made the joke. And for any parents that has had a beard and has shaved the beard off and you've had like you've got young kids, they don't take to that particularly easily. Like, I still can't shave my beard because my kids tell me if I do, I don't look like their dad. So that's kind of a weird thing as well. William Nylander got on the ice with some kids in Toronto. Like, that was cool. So that's coming in fall of 2024. Again, there's no name attached to it just yet. It's untitled at the moment. But that is coming a little bit more behind the scenes when it comes to the National Hockey League. Okay, the Kings and the Ducks. The Kings and the Ducks are planning a little bit of a rebrand next season. As we all know, at the end of this year, the Adidas contract for the game-worn sweaters, all of that, it goes by the wayside, and Fanatics is stepping in. I know everyone's super excited about that. But the early reports out there from the annual Aesthetics Jersey Watch indicates that the Ducks and the Kings are going to be rebranding to something more familiar from the 90s. It appears the Ducks are going to be going with a modernized Mighty Duck logo. Okay? A modernized Mighty Duck logo with the same color scheme that they have right now. So the orange, the black, and the gold. I hate the color scheme. I do. But listen, anything that gets rid of that Webbed D logo, I'm all about it. So give me the Mighty Ducks logo. Give me the rebrand. Give me the full rebrand. I'm all on board. Now, here's the one that I'm really excited about for obvious reasons. But the Los Angeles Kings, it's reported they're going to be going back to the Wayne Gretzky era Chevrolet logo. It's an awesome logo. It's got kind of like a lot of movement to it. I assume it's going to be the same color scheme. There was no real update on that. But if you remember the reverse retro jerseys, sweaters that the Kings put out the last couple of years where they were using the Forum blue and gold, but they put that Gretzky logo on the front. If I had it my way, that's what their rebrand would be. But I'm going to take the Gretzky logo all day long. It's nostalgia. It's what the Kings should be. And I just think that both of those Southern California teams are going to look really sharp with a little bit of a different look going into next season.
Yeah, listen, the Ducks have had that terrible logo for far too long. Like,
yes.
No, like, sometimes a rebrand is necessary, but I feel like the Ducks, they tried to erase their history when they rebranded. Yeah. Like, bring Mighty back, because everybody loves that, Mighty Ducks of Anaheim. Like, to me, that's the coolest thing. Like, they're the Anaheim Ducks. Boring. Mighty Ducks of Anaheim. That's got some sizzle. That's got some pop. And, look, you have to bring back the duck mask. Like, you have to do it. Like, that was your entire identity. Like, there's so few times that a team rebrands and makes it worse.
Yeah.
Like, not only did the Ducks make it worse, they made it infinitely worse.
Yeah, listen, the color scheme is boring, the logo is boring, and when you hit it out of the park with your first design, the eggplant and the jade, you're never going to top that. So in a perfect world, they'd go back to eggplant and jade. They just go back to their original sweater design, and that's what they would be. It doesn't seem like that's going to happen, but at least we can get a little bit closer to it with the Mighty Duck logo reemerging. As far as the Golden Knights are concerned, I watched a 30-minute video today on the aesthetics of hockey and sweater designs, all that. Doesn't look like there's going to be any changes for the Vegas Golden Knights. Aside from the jerseys are not going to be Adidas, now they're going to be Fanatics. It seems like it's still going to be the gold home sweater, the white road sweater, and the third jersey will still be the steel gray. So that's kind of the update there on the jersey front for the Golden Knights. But a couple of the teams in the conference are going to look a little bit different next year. And those are your one-timers for today, Thursday, June 6th. Catching up with Chapman, that's next.
When the guy wouldn't stop talking, we had no choice but to give him his own segment. It's time for Catching Up with Chapman.
All right, Ryan. Well, I'm a bit of a history buff. Like, I studied history in college. It was my favorite subject in school growing up. And today, a very significant day in not only U.S. history, but world history, as it is the 80th anniversary of D-Day, the day that many, many brave men from all over North America, Canada, the United States, as well as England and other parts of Europe stormed the beaches of Normandy. I always try to watch as many documentaries on this day as I can about D-Day. It's always been something that fascinates me. Like the movie Saving Private Ryan, I've seen many interviews with guys who were part of the invasion of Normandy talking about how that's like the most realistic movie that's been made about what it was like. And I just think about that first scene where you're watching these guys go on those little boats. And like, if you're in the first wave, like you had to know that you weren't going to ever step back on the boat that you came off of. And you weren't going to survive that because it was so brutal. But, you know, it's just one of those days where you look back and 80 years ago, there's not a lot of people left on this planet who were involved in that event. And I think I saw something. There's only 100,000 American veterans remaining who served in World War II. So one of those days, very significant for world history. And it's crazy to think that it was 80 years ago. Like I think about it, I'm like, I was born closer to D-Day than we are from my birthday to today. Like, it's just one of those crazy, crazy things. And you know, you look back and, you know, I just think about how different the history of the planet would have been had we not succeeded, you know, had we failed. And fortunately, we had a lot of brave men who were willing to risk it all and you know, destroy Nazis and take out that horrible situation that was going on over there. And, you know, if there's any people who still have family who were alive and served in World War II, thank them, you know, because there's not a lot left. There's not a lot of those guys left. And, you know, in my lifetime, we will get to a point where there are no World War II vets remaining. And it'll be sad, sad day when they're all gone, because it was one of the most significant events in world history. And, you know, today, just the day that really changed everything for the Allies.
Yeah, it's why I mean, 80 years, it seems like forever ago, and it also seems like yesterday, right? Like, it doesn't feel like it's been that much time, and yet here we are. But, like you said, a lot of brave men and women that protect this country and the world as best they can. Think of that. That's what we'll end on here.